Bigfoots claim to be a Bigfoot scream. It is regarded as the highest quality audio of the creature ever captured.
You'll excuse me, gentlemen.
Lieutenant Colonel Stewart reporting for duty, sir.
Colonel Stewart.
That's an impeccable hat, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Tell me, Colonel Stewart, use tobacco?
No, sir. Not in any form.
Neither do I. Find I like it too much.
Sit down. Understand from your record that you are West Point, class of 54.
Served since in the cavalry, Fort Clark, Texas. Operations against Apache, Comanche. Most impressive, you are native Virginian.
Fought with Longstreet and Ewell, sir. Nasty business. Merciless climate. Glad to be home, sir. The Apache were defending their homes as we will be defending ours. If we fight as well as the Apache, I pity the Yankee invader.
General Stewart, if I had my way, we would show no quarter to the enemy. No more than the Redskins showed your troopers. The black flag, sir. If the North triumphs, it is not alone the destruction of our property. It is the prelude to anarchy, infidelity, the ultimate loss of free and responsible government on this continent. It is the triumph of commerce, the banks, factories. We should meet the federal invader on the outer verge of just and right defense and raise at once the black flag. No quarter to the violators of our homes and firesides. Our political leadership in Richmond is too timid to face the reality of this coming war. They should look to the Bible. It is full of such wars. Only the black flag will bring the North quickly to its senses, rapidly in the war.
Well, Colonel, one way or the other, the South will give them a warm reception.
You'll be in charge of the cavalry in the Harpers Ferry District. Your experience and your zeal will be invaluable.
Thank you, sir. And Colonel, know that I will tell my men always to gallop toward the enemy, but trot away.
Trot.
Oh, I'm a good old rebel, now that's just what I am. And for this Yankee nation, I do not give a damn. I'm glad I fought again, I only wish we'd won. I ain't asked any pardon for anything I've done. I hates the Yankee nation and everything they do. I hates the Declaration of Independence too. I hates the glorious Union, 'tis dripping with our blood. I hates the striped banner, I fit it all I could. I rode with Robert E. Lee for 3 years thereabout. Got wounded in 4 places and I starved at Point Lookout. I caught the rheumatism a-camping in the snow. But I killed a chance of Yankees and I'd like to kill some more. 300,000 Yankees is stiff in southern dust. We got 300,000 before they conquered us. They died of southern fever and southern steel and shot. I wish they were 3 million instead of what we got. I can't take up my musket and fight them now no more. But I ain't gonna love them, now that is certain sure. And I don't want no pardon for what I was and am. I won't be reconstructed and I do not give a damn. Oh, I'm a good old rebel, now that's just what I am. For this Yankee nation, I do not give a damn. I'm glad I fought again, I only wish we'd won. And I ain't asked any pardon for anything I've done. I ain't asked any pardon for anything I've done.
Welcome to the Crypto Report.
everybody. Welcome to the Crypto Report for Sunday, May 14th, 2017, and it is Mother's Day. So if you haven't called your mother, pause this broadcast and go call your mother, for God's sake. It's Mother's Day. We got a great show for you today. It's not the show I was planning to do for most of the week because of the great events that have happened over the weekend, the best of which was the Charlottesville event that just occurred, where Richard Spencer and Sam Dixon and Mike Enoch gave some speeches in front of the Robert E. Lee statue that the local city council is trying to get removed. There were a lot of groups represented there. American Vanguard was there. Matt Heimbach and the Trad Workers were there. Identity Europa, of course, was there. And I don't know if any Nordfront was there, but I saw a Nordfront flag in the procession. It was a great event. And we have, in the second half, my sometimes co-host, my oftentimes race war correspondent when we do the news, Careless Rex, was at the event, and we have an interview with him about the event that is the second half of today's show. So stay tuned for that. Fair warning, this was a last minute thing, getting hold of Careless and doing this interview. I contacted him about 5 o'clock this morning. About 3 o'clock this morning, I sent him a message, and I went to sleep. I got about 2 hours sleep. I stayed up late last night writing a couple of articles for Daily Stormer. And when I got up, he was like, yeah, I can do it, but I got to do it quick because I've got to hit the road and go do some things. And so I did the interview with 2 hours sleep and having been awake for about 15 or 20 minutes. So I made a couple of mistakes in there. I couldn't remember Sam Dixon's name. Right? And but the thing that I want to warn you about, those of you with delicate sensibilities, is that I'm not sure, I looked for it, but I didn't find it. But I think at one point, I was listening to Careless and had my mic muted, and I didn't know I had my mic muted, and I needed to cough, and so I pressed the button to mute my mic and coughed and spit and all that. So I'm afraid that's going to be in there. I think when I pushed the mute button, I unmuted. But anyhow, not the end of the world. We did have two big events yesterday. One of which, and I watched both of them, their live streams. One of them was this Boston Free Speech March that was basically put together by the alt-light. There were definitely some of our guys there. Want to shout out to Bran McMorn. I hear he was there, which is excellent. And Sam Hyde, of course, was there. And there were some young fellows from Pol who were there waving their Kekistan flags and such, but it was a fairly sedate event. As regular readers of the Daily Stormer know, Daily Stormer put out an article about this, asking people to come show up to the free speech event because Antifa was doing a real push to get out there in big, big numbers. And, they're under a lot of pressure because they're getting outnumbered every time now. They're not able to hold the streets. They're getting their asses kicked like redheaded stepchildren. And this totally means the end of Antifa. And so they did the very best they could. They just publicly posted all over all their big Antifa websites. Everybody's got to show up for this. And they busted in everybody they could, and they were still just a tiny fraction of the number of the people over on the alt-light with the alt-right types mixed inside. And fortunately for the Antifa, the Boston police there were basically keeping the peace. There really wasn't much of anything to do with violence. It was basically a fairly boring event. I watched the, I don't know if he's a mulatto or a quadroon, probably an octoroon, because he's always saying he's mixed race, but he just looks, you know, mildly tan. I mean, he's obviously not all white, but Tim Pool, I watched his live stream of that event, and it was pretty damn boring, to be honest. It was basically him going over to the Antifa side and trying to convince the guy. He wasn't an Antifa guy, but he was the guy who was like the spokesperson for whatever the retarded local organization was that had set up the counter protest to the free speech rally. And he was trying to convince him, hey, you and the people over there are exactly the same. You both paint each other with a broad brush and blah, 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 blah. How can you blah, 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 blah? And, I mean, his points, to a large extent, were valid, but it was just boring. And other than that, I think I saw one incidence of semi-violence where some big, tubby guy who, I don't know if he's a Proud Boy or not, when they were hauling him off, the police were, he was hollering some unintelligible nonsense about Proud Boy, this or that. But he went, you know, he's a big fat guy wearing a Trump hat, and he went over to the Antifa side with a can of Pepsi, you know, trying to do that thing. Like, here, have a Pepsi, let's all be friends. And he poked it out towards some teenage, it looked like a little wimpy boy when I first saw it, but some people were saying it was a girl, and then I heard the voice and everything. It was definitely an underage teenager, and, you know, very vague as to what his gender was. I'm probably some type of trans person, but he held the Pepsi out, like offering the Pepsi, and people are saying that he held it like 1 inch from the person's face or whatever, and the tranny thing, he, she, it, whatever, slapped it away, and the other Antifa started advancing on him, and it's from that point I saw it too, and the tranny person was advancing. It was on a really steep hill, and Fat Boy did not have the high ground, and the Antifa, including the he-she or whatever, were advancing on him, and he threw up his dukes and hit the teenager one time. And it wasn't much of a punch. The teenager didn't go down. Both of them got arrested. That was basically it for the violence. I mean, there were a lot of threats coming from the Antifa side and a lot of attempts at intimidation. But like I said, they were way up on this hill. And the alt-right people were way across the field from them. And at the end of it, the alt-right... The alt-light. There were some alt-right among them. But it looked to me, just as an outside observer watching this thing, it was mostly your McConstitution types. And they had the Oath Keepers and the New York Militia and all that out there. And then they went on a march shouting USA, 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 which is, you know, definitely not an alt-right slogan, in my opinion. But, I mean, that's kind of a shades of the hyper-patriotism from, you know, when we invaded Iraq after 9/11 and all that. There's kind of that sort of thing, sort of your Super Bowl, let's fly over a few jets and all of us wave our flags and scream how great America is while we sit here. You know, that kind of thing. But, you know, those guys are on our side. I'm not criticizing. I'm just pointing out, you know, they were all light and they had our people there with them, obviously. So that was that. I mean, they went on their little march afterwards. By the time they got back to the, you know, they marched out in around a few city blocks and through some kind of, they were having some kind of a open air bazaar where they had all these food trucks and stuff. And they went through that. When they got back to the park, the Antifa was gone. They gave a few speeches about how it's not about skin color, it's about the Constitution, our free speech, and all that good stuff, and it was over. Then the really good stuff started happening. Richard Spencer, I guess he was the main organizer, had an event in Charlottesville, Virginia, I believe. I think, yeah. Anyway, where the local city council was trying to take down a statue of Robert E. Lee. And they had a great rally there. They gave, I saw, I mean, there were more people who spoke. While I was doing prep for the show this morning, just, you know, quickly trying to find the stuff that I wanted to post in this show, I ran across some more videos where people like Nathan Damigo and were speaking, and where Mike Enoch was speaking again, and I'm sure there were others. But the speeches that I saw Sam Dixon, which was by far and away the best speech that was given. And it's not the speech that of his that I'm going to be playing during the break here. But it was a great speech. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem to have survived from Red Ice's live stream. Because I saw the whole speech on the live stream. But then when the video is uploaded today, it's like Red Ice comes back from a break and it's the last sentence or two of his speech. So hopefully somebody will get that uploaded pretty soon. But and Mike Enoch gave a speech, and then Spencer gave a speech. And then the Antifa, or well, we assume they were Antifa because they weren't wearing masks. It was like this one guy, tall, skinny guy who's dressed kind of like Antifa. He had on a black hoodie, but he didn't have his hood on. He didn't have a mask or a bandana on. He had on sunglasses. And he was trying to intimidate a couple of people. And boy, did that backfire on him. All the guys who were there just surrounded him and started screaming, "Cuck, cuck, cuck," at the top of their lungs, like inches from his face. It was basically a physical removal without having to actually lay hands on him. You know, he retreated shivering and shaking, as we have seen them do before when they are opposed with vigor. I've done it myself. And these people who were at this thing were not the heritage, not hate crowd that I just can't stand. These were openly blood and soil white nationalists at this thing, and they were completely down for the Southern cause and for saving our symbols and all that good stuff. And I could talk about this all day, but I've got a great interview with Carolus Rex, so I'm just about to go to that after I wrap up a couple other little details here. And you know, we'll have a nice short show for this week that hopefully everybody's going to enjoy. And maybe I'm looking at a couple of things that some people are helping me out with for other ways to get this show recorded over the internet, where I can more, because I have horrible internet, to where I can more easily have guests on and such. And so hopefully we'll be back to the 3-hour shows pretty soon. But hey, at least you're getting a show every week, right? The other thing that I want to address, and this is the most important thing of all, as I said last week, I will not be taking any donations whatsoever. I won't be providing a way to donate or any of that until the Daily Stormer Legal Defense Fund is fully funded. As I discussed last week, the Daily Stormer Legal Defense Fund it's a WeSearcher bounty, and the bounty is for $150,000, which, believe me, if these Jews go, you know, just take it all the way to the wall, which I'm sure they will, you know, the SPLC, Richard Cohen that runs it, he said on Vice News this week that they have sued many white supremacists out of business, and they are going to sue the Daily Stormer out of business. So, you know, the $150,000, I mean, that might not even cover what it all is going to cost. But it's been a couple of weeks now, at least, and now the bounty is only up to $119,400. Now, you might think that's great, and of course, I'm happy that it's up to that, but here's the thing. The funding comes in fits and starts. It seems that somebody has to come along and shame everybody to get any kind of donations to start up again. It was, I guess, week before last, it was stalled down, like it was only about $60,000. And I wrote an article entitled, "It Is Your Duty as a White Man to Donate to the Daily Stormer Legal Defense Fund." And I just laid out the numbers. You know, I was like, look, there are over 150,000 unique visitors come to this website every day, and only X amount have donated, and that's just ridiculous. And, you know, we're still at that point. We're a little bit over, it looks like, 1% of the people who come and read the website every day. We're right at 1% of that as far as the number of people who have contributed to the bounty. The bounty's up to $119,400 right now. 1,567 people have contributed. And like I said, over 150,000, well over 150,000 people read the Daily Stormer every day. So if we just bring this up to 2%, that'd be $240,000 right there. And the minimum donation or contribution, as they call it on WeSearcher, is $10. And the more people who donate, the better it looks. I mean, we don't just want the dollars. We want the contributors number to be as high as possible, because this shows the world how much support there is for our side of things. So, you know, get over there to the WeSearcher. I'll post a link here in this post so that you can click on it and donate to the Daily Stormer versus SPLC Legal Defense Fund. And, you know, leave a message over on the message board there, whatever. Just get that over there. Get us $10 or more. And remember, you know, as I always say, come help us fight the race war. We can't do it by ourselves. And these people, it's not just the Daily Stormer that they're coming after. This would set a precedent that would actually change law as we understand it, concerning communications on the internet due to case law. They are trying to set a precedent where someone posts a perfectly legal post where they say, hey, go tell these people, you know, here's their publicly available information, and here's where they post publicly on the internet. So go to these places and tell these people what you think about them, but don't do anything illegal or threaten anything violent. And then, you know, all these people start messaging Gersh, Tanya Gersh, the target of the troll raid, and she turns around and gets the SPLC involved, because she is a Jew, like the SPLC is a Jewish organization. She turns around and gets the SPLC involved and wants to sue the Stormer out of existence over things that the Stormer did not do. Messages that she received that did not come from the Daily Stormer, that came from readers of the Daily Stormer or others. Or, you know, people who saw on Twitter or on Facebook or somewhere, hey, go do this. These Jews are trying to shake this woman down over here. Go tell these Jews what you think about it. And so if they get this precedent set, the next target is you. It's all you people who like to shit post on Twitter. It's all you people that like to upload videos to YouTube. It's, you know, every one of you. They're going to be coming after you. It's going to be a holocaust of shitlords. Isn't it worth $10 to avoid that? And come on, wouldn't it be great to watch these Jews get gaped in court finally? I know I'll enjoy it. It will completely demoralize them. So, yeah. Other than the Daily Stormer Legal Defense Fund part here, today's show is very Southern-based. Being a Southerner myself, I have always been proud of our history as, you know, having at least attempted to exercise our right to self-determination and get ourselves away from the powers of the banks and all that sort of thing, and the, you know, oppression of the North, and we tried to establish our own nation down here. and fought valiantly and lost. You know, it happens like that sometimes. But there was absolutely nothing that happened in the Civil War that for us to be ashamed of. The men, not only the ones who led, such as Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis and Stonewall Jackson and all those great guys, not just them, but the average Southern soldier in his gray uniform, if he was lucky enough to be able to have a uniform, these were all great heroes. They were some of the greatest men that ever existed. And the war between the states was a horrible, horrible tragedy. And we're still feeling the fallout from it today. And it's always held a special place in my heart and in the hearts of any Texans who are into the history of it. Because, you know, Texas was the only part of the Confederacy that was never properly invaded. The Yankees tried to invade several times and couldn't. But when Lee surrendered at Appomattox, he basically surrendered for Texas, too. So Texas was suddenly disarmed, and the Yankees rolled in here. And as bad as Reconstruction was for the rest of the South, it was exponentially worse for Texas. And I did a show, Ghost and I, when we were doing Hidden Mysteries Radio, did a great show on that. And I'm going to try to go find it tonight in this heap of memory sticks and things that I have and upload it to my YouTube channel so everybody can kind of get a background on the Reconstruction in Texas and the repercussions of that. And of course, during that show, if I recall correctly, we go into a lot of the cultural stuff that came from it and you know, the history from between then and now and how it still affects us. So hopefully everybody's who's interested will go check out my YouTube channel. If you're not already subscribed, it's Asmodor, just my name. Just go on YouTube and do a search for Asmodor and click on that channel and subscribe to it. And you know, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow or a day or so, that I'll have that show uploaded as a video, and you can go give it a listen. Well, that's enough of me yammering on solo when I have a great interview with Carolus. So we're going to go to the break now. We're going to hear Sam Dixon's speech about heritage, not hate, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Crypto Report. We'll be right back after this break.
I rode with old Jeb Stuart and his band of Southern horse. There never were no Yankees who could beat us force to force. No, they never did defeat us, but we never could evade their dirty foreign politics and cowardly blockade. Well, we hadn't any powder and we hadn't any shot. We hadn't any money to buy what we ain't got. So we rode our worn out horses and we ate on plain cornmeal. And we licked them where we caught them with Southern guts and steel. Well, we sunk the ship at Sumter and we broke her plumb in two. And we showed them bully Yankees just what we aim to do. At a little creek called Bull Run, we took their starry rag to wipe our horses down with, and I ain't here to brag. Well, there aren't as many left of us as rode out at the start. And then there are the weary, weak, and body sad of heart. We fought a fight to tell about, and I am here to say, I'd climb my horse and follow Marsh to hell come any day.
Because America will not tolerate anyone opting out of her system. America is an imperialistic country. And the first object of its imperialism was the conquest of the South and the subjugation of the South. And the continuous looting of the South, which went on for generations, through things that are not ever written in history books, such as the discriminatory rate system on railroads, which was a deliberate policy pursued for four generations to prevent us from being industrialized. Southern factories were made to pay vastly higher costs to ship their products than Northern-owned factories. We were kept as an agrarian colony of the American Empire by federal will. So much for the alleged charitable feelings that we are told those people had toward black people, because they too were barred from the benefits of industrialization. The resistance was flawed from the very beginning, and this is shown in the slogan that emerged. And that slogan was, heritage, not hate, which we have heard thousands of times in the last 20 or 30 years. This is a catastrophic slogan. It is a fatal slogan. It is fatal because it accepts the regime's paradigm. It accepts the idea that things like slavery, the secession, the Civil War, opposition to Reconstruction, the devising of the system of segregation as a means of preserving the racial integrity of Southern white people, resistance to the Civil Rights Bill, all of these are admitted to be hate by the slogan, heritage, not hate. And of course, it's then fatally defective. If that's your heritage, why do you care about it? It's like saying that your great-grandfather was Jack the Ripper. Why would you want to honor that heritage? You'd want to find something else to honor. So it played right into the hands of our enemies. And this slogan was rooted in the deep desire that Southerners have to be accepted, to be real Americans, and to sit down. These flaggers, the people who defended the flag, we'll call them flaggers, had a deep desire to sit down at Dr. King's Table of Brotherhood, a table of brotherhood that has never existed in human history and never will exist, that they desired to be accepted as good Americans, and to be accepted to sit down at Dr. King's table. There was failure to follow a fundamental law, which I have applied in my life with great success, whether in investments, a family, personal problems, political issues, and it's a maxim I urge you to consider incorporating into your psychology. And that maxim is this: before there is something to do, there is something to know. And that is what this conference today represents. It represents obedience to this maxim, that before there is something to do, there is something to know. The people who rushed forward to defend the flag did so, they went off half-cocked. They did not think through what needed to be done, what needed to be said. They did not have themselves the necessary preparation to really defend the South, because they had accepted the paradigm of being Americans. Southerners tenaciously have embraced the American identity. I was virtually ordered out of my beloved cousin's house in Charleston when I opposed the war in Iraq. And she had her federal flag out in front of her house, and her support the troops bumper sticker. She's a wonderful woman. She's like a sister to me. But she comes from people who have suffered more than any other group in America from American imperialism. In the city of Charleston, for Pete's sakes, she is desperate to be accepted as an American. You even hear in the South this little joke, Southerners love it, that the Civil War was when the North invaded America. Well, it's funny, but it's also tragic. No, that's not what the Civil War was. The Civil War was when the American Empire invaded us, and when they crushed us. When they crushed the South, crushed it, they crushed it cruelly, brutally, ruthlessly, and systematically. And they have kept it crushed for generations. It was only in the emergency of World War II that the federal government abandoned the policy of discriminatory freight rates. Adolf was at the door and wanted to talk, and they finally were scared enough in the 1940s to allow Southerners to begin to experience economic prosperity. The paradigm of our enemies excludes white Southerners. It requires our extinction, as it requires the extinction of anybody who resists, anybody who holds himself out, a group that holds itself out, from what Keith Preston was talking about this morning. That is the system of produce and consume. Anyone who thinks there's more to life than producing and consuming, than being an economic animal, is a threat to the American paradigm. All threats, all holdouts, must be crushed and assimilated into the system. A lesson we learn from this, which the Southerners did not learn, did not understand when this attack came upon us, is that it is only when you abjure the realm that you can be part of a solution to our people's problems and be part of its future as well as its past. In medieval England, you could abjure the realm. You could formally swear off allegiance to the king and leave the country. What is necessary in America for white Southerners, and as well as for people in this room, I think most of us have achieved this, is that we must psychologically abjure the realm. We must swear it off, and we must step outside the regime and the system's paradigm. And it's a great thing to be free of delusions. I think that parting with a delusion is more important and liberating than embracing a truth. To be shed of a delusion is a liberating thing. It brings wisdom and opportunity.
Welcome back to the Crypto Report.
Okay, so as promised, we do have someone who was on the ground at the Charlottesville, Virginia, Confederate Heritage, I guess you'd say, event that was such a roaring success yesterday. And it's our own sometimes co-host and oftentimes race war correspondent, Carolus Rex. Welcome back to the Crypto Report, Carolus.
Hey, brother. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, so you were out there at the big, I'm calling it a heritage event, but I'm not saying that as an insult, you know, which it kind of often is. You know, I always am disgusted by the heritage, not hate crowd at these things, but that's not what you guys were doing. You guys were being explicitly pro-white and tying the Confederate heritage to being white people. And you had some great speeches up there. If I remember correctly, the ones I saw Sam Dixon speaking. That's his name, right? The lawyer guy?
Yes.
And yeah, and you had Mike Enoch got up there and gave a great speech. And Richard Spencer gave a great speech. And then apparently you guys were confronted by Antifa. But let me ask a couple of questions first. Now, the background of this is that they're trying to take down a Robert E. Lee statue in Charlottesville, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and apparently Virginia actually has some type of Confederate heritage law that says they're not allowed to do that. So fortunately, the people who are fighting this stuff got a judge to enjoin them not to take the thing down for 6 months, which I guess is to give time to get this thing into a regular court setting. So fortunately, there was no danger that you guys were going to go out to the thing and, you know, have your great event. And then in the middle of the night, the cranes come out and take it down like they did with the Jefferson Davis statue in New Orleans. But, man, you guys had a lot of great people out there who were really happy to confront these anti-whites and did it very well. I mean, it was some of the most articulate screaming that I've heard in all my days of watching these things. But run down a few of the groups that were there.
Well, the event overall was the biggest pieces of it were organized by Identity Europa, and Vanguard America and TWP both had at least some level of presence there. I was telling somebody yesterday morning, we were talking about the night before when we came into town to do a lot of the prep work and everything, and then everybody went out to dinner at one of the pubs here in town. And I went there, and you walk into the first floor, and it pretty much looked like an IE event that a bunch of Vanguard guys showed up to with just as many people. And then you go upstairs, and the upstairs of this pub, it just looked like walking. I mean, it pretty much was a Daily Stormer book club meeting, like the biggest one ever. And it was great. Cool. It was so comfy. So you had everybody there. You had IE, you had VA, you had a few TWP guys. I finally got to meet Matt Heimbach in person. Shout out to him. And then we had a lot of Stormies there too. So it was great. It was super comfy. And I'm trying to think if there were any other like groups that I noticed made a big presence. I didn't meet anybody in particular from any other groups.
Did you have any League of the South guys there or anything?
I think there, like someone said that there were some there, but I didn't personally meet anybody that I recall telling me I'm with League of the South. Most people I met were either wearing an IE button on a blazer, or they were wearing one of Vanguard America's T-shirts, or just from context clues and talking to them, and where and when I met them, I could tell they were Heimbach people. But, I'm told that there were some League of the South there. I guess I just didn't have a chance to meet any of them because there were so many people there overall.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it was a great event. I've watched after I watched the live streams, I have watched the clips from the various angles of the people arguing with the opposition types came out. And I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think after the last couple of weeks of activism from the Southern American part of the, not South American, but Southern American part of the alt-right, is that on these forums and stuff, these people who say that Southerners are so cucked and all this, they're going to have to up their game, because we've had parallel events going on for the last few weeks that, some of them are like in the South and they're centered around these monuments and our history and such. And then you've had these other events, like the ones in California and the one up in Boston that was occurring basically the same time. There was some overlap there. And these events that are occurring outside of Dixie, they're all mainly run by normie alt-light types. And they're about free speech and, all these constitutional principles and all. And you've got all these people saying it's not racist. And you got all these oath keepers and militia types who are showing up, who claim they're there for both sides' free speech. And then they find out, oh, you're a racist alt-right or whatever. And they're warning, we're not going to protect you. You guys get off there away from us. We're not racists, And the Southern guys have just been putting on a real show for everybody of how to do this. Like, the way that they shut down the Cuck Night last week and the way that you guys shut down these people who came out. Now, it's my understanding just from watching the videos. I don't know if this is true. You can probably fill me in on this. But the main, maybe the only male protester that came out there was some douchey looking guy who the people in the crowd were saying that it's his wife who's trying to take down that Confederate statue. You know anything more about him or that situation?
I actually do not. The only thing that I observed was there was some individual who, I mean, that this could be who I'm talking about. He looked like an actual, I mean, he looked like the part. I mean, he was wearing a black hoodie and stuff. I mean, he wasn't wearing a mask, but everybody pretty much, he showed up after the rally was basically over. And everybody was, like, in the process of leaving. And everybody just kind of crowded around him and started chanting cuck at him. And
yeah, that's the guy. Yeah,
yeah. And I heard that. And, you know, like I said, the rally was over. We were just waiting for Richard to get done. Because I was in command. I was, like, you know, directing traffic on the radio and stuff and dealing with his security detail and trying to get his security detail to get him to go ahead and move on to the move on and you know, go link back up with the convoy and get out of there, because you know, traffic was about to get bad with everybody leaving and all this stuff. And I hear that, I just can hear this echo in the distance of cuck, 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 cuck. And I, oh man, you know, up to that point, I'd been like pretty tense. I was wondering what was going to happen with that. When I heard that, I just started laughing hysterically. I was like, "Oh God, nice!" Yeah. But you know, I saw some footage. Apparently, there was a couple others there. There was this fat. Someone told me that it was a tranny or something. This fucking Jewess with
a
beard.
It was the bearded lady.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
They're calling this individual the beard Jew. And she,
yeah,
she was taking,
it was obviously one of those.
Yeah. She was taking pictures of my security team and shit. And, you know, trying to, and I saw her on a couple of cell phone videos. Cause we were trying to figure out who she was. I think I'll try to get as many of those forwarded to you as possible so you could dox the shit out of her. But she was like, you know, very angrily snapping the pictures and then very sad, you know, having this, like, I guess, sense of angry satisfaction when the pictures came out, and she thought that they'd be good enough to dox. You know, I got to give one guy credit, because this was, and only for the reason that I think it's really, really funny. The guy that was the guy that I got there, he's a he's basically a contractor. He was you know, he's got a bunch of like PSD contracting experience, and he was behind Spencer the whole time, and he was confused because I'd given him, you know, he's aware of Spencer and everything, and he kind of, like, you know, did a threat assessment of and what to expect. This fucking mulatto walks up, and it was the strangest encounter that you'll ever see. I haven't seen any videos of it, but it's been described. But apparently, I've seen pictures of the encounter. I haven't seen any actual video, but I have seen pictures. And the look on this dude's face is hilarious. And apparently, this mulatto comes up and is like, "No, no, no, I'm not. I didn't come here to. I actually do just want my picture taken with you. I actually think you're pretty cool, and I think that what you do is cool." And the guy, the contractor guy that I have running Spencer's security, he calls up over the radio, and he was like, because people were talking about it, and he was like, "Yeah, dude, like this guy, his body language was really friendly, and he wasn't doing anything hostile with his hands, but he was also black, and he was like, dude, I thought that the African Americans didn't like Spencer."
I mean, these black Confederates are a real conundrum, because I mean, you know, you see these guys and they're so into it and everything that you don't want to have to burst their bubble and say, "Look, you know, we're not into this." But at the same time, you don't want to hold them up as some kind of a shining example of Southern nationalism, because they certainly don't, from what I understand from groups like League of the South and all, you know, if the Southern nationalism thing were to really take off, there's really no place in Dixie for these types, whether they like to wave a Confederate flag or not, because they're not civic nationalists. They're the League of the South types. They're blood and soil guys. But Okay, during one thing I wanted to ask about, just from watching the video several times, is when Spencer started giving his speech. No, not Spencer. When Enoch started giving his speech, like some giant smoke bomb started going off right behind you guys. Was that something you guys set off for effect, or is it something they threw at you?
No. That was IE. At first, I was like, "Oh, well, here we go. It's about to be real spicy." And the contractor guy called up on the radio. He's like, "All right, we got somebody's dropping smoke grenades." And then he was like, "Somebody called." I was like, "No. That's Identity Europa colors." And I mean, a couple of the guys on the team that were military guys, they were like, "Yeah, look, we should have been briefed about that. They should have told us about that ahead of time." So they were like, "Whoa!" But that was Identity Europa colors. They were doing that as that was just pyro for aesthetic effect. And if you look at it from a distance, it actually looked really cool. I do, as I've stated in other occasions, I do like Identity Europa's aesthetic, even though for a number of reasons, my understanding is that I probably can't be in Identity Europa. But I do think their aesthetic is cool. I thought the smoke was cool, but yeah, that's what that was. It was their, a particular teal color and white smoke effect. Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't think they would take me either, even if I were a young college student now. But I mean, they're doing some awesome work lately, so I'm not going to bag on them or anything. I mean, everybody's got different types they want in there, which is good. We need, we're not all the same in this movement, and we need different groups, that will be like rallying points for, the various different types of individuals from the various walks of life that we have in the alt-right. I mean, obviously, a stormer who wants to go out and stomp Antifa all the time is not going to be drawn to the same group and the same aesthetic as, a college student who is, wanting to do things a little differently or whatever. Not that there aren't plenty of stormers who are college students. Don't get me wrong on that. But you know what I'm saying. You get the drift that I'm throwing across here, that it's good to have a different aesthetic and different types of groups for different people, as long as they're doing good work. And Identity Europa definitely is doing good work. And one of the ways you can tell is that, their name is on the lips of both the anti-whites and the cucks. After these events like the last couple in Berkeley, you'll have people like Stuart Rhodes. He came out and said, we protect everybody's freedom of speech except these Identity Europa Nazi types, and if they show up, we'll kick their ass.
Oh my god. So,
I wrote an article about that.
Yeah.
It's called Antifa is Lowellburgtarian, Oathkeepers are Lowellburgtarian Antifa or something like that. And the funny thing is, Rhodes is standing there saying that, and the event is basically over, and Identity Europa did show up and had people speak at the thing. And also, so not to get off on talking about how pathetic the Oathkeepers are, we could do a whole show on that, but it's just I'm pointing out, I always heard that when you're receiving flak, it means you're directly over the target. So, I give those guys the white supremacist okay symbol. or excuse me, it's white power. That's what it makes. It makes a WP when you give the okay symbol. I've read.
I'm in a house full of Identity Europa people. I wish I had a cable running down to my speakers downstairs so they could have heard that, because you're absolutely right. All these groups doing the different things to the different groups of people. It is actually very important that we have that. But it is very important, and I think that this event sets a great positive example for this too. It's important that these groups all cooperate. And everyone did a pretty good job, because you've got everything from, you know, your a handful of TWP people who are, your blue collar guys, your tradesmen, your mechanics and your carpenters and things like that. And you've got your Identity Europa guys that do things like, you know, read philosophy. And you've got your Vanguard America guys who just like to shitpost in real life. And, you know, if they given the right opportunity and the right rules of engagement, maybe go remove commie. But,
right.
But everyone came and everyone cooperated. Everybody worked together on the event, and everybody got along really well. I was able to like float around the different events, which we had good enough operational security on where I didn't have to do any actual work. I was able to just go around and like talk to people, and everybody was having a really good time working together. You know, all the different groups that I was around when I was able to, you know, deal with the, or not deal with, I mean, but just like interact with people that were, you know, interacting amongst themselves between different groups. Everybody had a great time working together for the event, and it went really well. And I think that this event, for that aspect of it, this event sets an excellent example.
Well, yeah, and you guys had a really good aesthetic out there, and it was obvious that the various different groups were cooperating, in the proper spirit of cooperation, because of the way the thing came off. Everybody looked good. Everybody was on point. And like when the anti-white protesters were out there, and it wasn't really the guy. I mean, once the guy got a few alt-right dudes in his ear screaming cuck at him, he basically backed off shaking. It was almost a physical removal. But the women that came out, most of them, I guess you call women, the weird one with the beard and all, I don't know what that thing was. One thing that I was noticing, though, just as an aside here, that one that, was this an ugly degenerate, but I'm thinking that it must be a woman transitioning to be a man with the hormone therapy or something, because throughout the event, or throughout their little counter protest, this thing was sticking its ugly jugs in the camera, and its nipples were hard. And I was sitting there thinking,
God,
are its nipples hard because it just gets off to this, or are its nipples hard because it's finally looking at some real men? And, but yeah, it was a totally disgusting thing, and it did have a beard. And one of the things that people were chanting at them was when it would come up and start sticking its hands in people's cameras, like that was really going to keep them from getting filmed, when there were like 6 million cameras there.
Right.
You know, the crowd of our guys would start chanting, "Shave your beard, shave your beard." and you had a lot of guys out there who were putting out some really good points. But I was wondering throughout the whole thing, because I noticed when that kind of dispersed, someone said, "Okay, everybody, let's go eat," and everybody started marching up the sidewalk. When it dispersed and I started watching the film of everybody walking up the sidewalk, you had the four or five or however many of them there were, it was a handful, but the protesters against you guys were following behind, protected by the police. So you had like bicycle police, and it looked like a couple of cars or whatever, escorting the whole thing. But I didn't notice any police presence at the actual confrontation. Were there police there and ready when you guys set up the event?
Yes, there was a small number of them. And it was such a small number. They may have just been on standby. They may have been keeping most of their guys on standby, just kind of out of sight and out of mind, because they, you know, what appeared to me was a relatively small presence. But from what I understand, my intel my situation briefing was that Charlottesville had, you know, they were aware of the event. They'd issued a permit. There were police on there. ready to respond to anything that happens or whatever. But, you know, the number of police out there, maybe I'm just used to living in a city that has to have a lot of police because of having a lot of vibrancy. But, you know, it's a college town similar to the one that I went to undergrad in. The number of police that were out walking around or police cars that were out around looked pretty typical for just a normal Saturday afternoon in Tuscaloosa. But, you know, they may have had, for all I know, they may have had, you know, 20 cars lined up in another location that I never had eyes on and that were just, you know, ready to pounce.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you guys had it all down great. And then I saw another video uploaded late last night. Apparently there was a torch march after dark.
Yes.
And some Antifa came out and attacked your people in the dark in the torch march thing. Were you there for that?
Okay, so I've actually gotten information from that. So the candlelight vigil itself went fine, and that's what it was. They used tiki torches because they're brighter, but they cut the handles off of them because they didn't want torches. What they wanted to do was a candlelight vigil, and some people just wanted a really bright candle. And they wanted all the candles, like, together to be bright enough to, you know, illuminate the statue so you could take pictures of it and you can clearly see the statue in the candlelight. But, yeah, you know, they had the thing. There was literally one person showed up, and it was some, you know, angry fat boomer woman. I mean, she was I saw a really shitty picture of her, and she's probably Jewish.
Yeah.
And
the video that I watched, it was some blonde-headed dude in a green. It looked
I haven't gotten to that yet. I haven't gotten.
Oh, okay.
So she basically got banced by Spencer. I haven't heard what he got. You know, she got in his face and he banced her back a little bit, and her entire monologue was pretty much "You're disgusting, oy vey, shut it down, whatever." And then, but there was no violence during. I had eyes on the whole time. I was observing. There was no actual violence during the candlelight vigil itself. The only time anything.
Right. Nobody's thing was lit when this happened.
No violence during the event itself. Everybody's thing was extinguished, you know, a couple minutes before the event even ended because they extinguished their candles. Everybody blew their candles out or extinguished their torch, whatever, before they started, you know, doing the last couple of minutes of the rally. And then they moved, you know, everybody, you know, they closed it out and they dismissed everybody. And the PSD team already, for Spencer, already had Spencer out of the park. He wasn't even in the park anymore. And apparently some local meth head who's not even affiliated with Antifa comes along and starts, you know, being, you know, tweaking out about how all these, you know, people are in his town making a bunch of noise while he's trying to sleep under a bridge or whatever, some shit. Or at least this is what was relayed to me. But, you know, imagine playing a telephone game with drunk people. So, but apparently he, you know, smashed some IE guy over the head with a wine bottle, and then another IE guy smashed him over the head with the tiki torch, and then the police arrested the meth head, and apparently that was about it. That's my understanding, but I haven't actually seen. I haven't seen any formal reports of the incident, so could be.
Well, like I say, you can see the incident. I think it's on Memes Are Real or something like that YouTube channel,
right?
But you can see the incident as well as you can see something that's happening in the dark that's like being filmed on a cell phone camera where they haven't adjusted the settings to film it dark, so like you can see when people are shining lights on him and stuff. And he did appear to attack some of your guys, and I'm not questioning the story about him being homeless, but I'm just saying I got a different impression from it because I believe it's probably the same fat wench that you were talking about a minute ago that appeared to be there with him and was patting him on the back and like, okay, there's nothing, let's go, there's nothing else we can do, and all, you know, trying to get him out of there before he got arrested. You know, of course, with these Jewish types and these Antifa types and all, they'll try to save anybody who attacks us from getting arrested. So, but yeah, that whole thing happened. So you had that. How long did the candlelight vigil under the monument last, and what went on during the candlelight vigil?
I'm going to be honest. I didn't actually watch the time because there wasn't any kind of time set for it. It was just mostly, you know, waiting for certain events to happen. And, well, I mean, they had a couple of guys that just spoke a little bit of a piece to, you know, and without a bullhorn. It was just like, you know, Richard and a couple other guys just did a little speaking piece, you know, to the people that participated in the march. And then they did some chants, they did some singing, and that was very brief. It was very, very brief. They were singing, they sang Dixie, they did some chants, some good chants like Blood and Soil, You Will Not Replace Us, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, a lot of like really nice Identity Europa chants. At one point, my understanding is that the chants were moving in a distinctly moving away from like Identity Europa's exquisite squeaky clean optics type stuff in the direction of you know, a Daily Storm of Book Club.
Gas the kayaks race war now.
Yeah. So, the IE guy that was like, all right, hey Richard, we need to wrap this up.
Well, I think Gas the Kayaks Race War Now is great PR.
Right. To be honest with you. Well, I agree, but you know,
yeah, you gotta go with the flow at these things when everybody's on the same side. I get you. You know, the whole thing centered around we've got this mass destruction of our history going on that's being directed at us by people who hate us and would just as soon as if they could destroy every single white person instead of just their statues. And so I think this is, as long as this is going on, this is the foremost PR battle that we can fight, especially as Southerners. And it's great, you know, to have the Yankees coming down, our Yankee allies come down and help us. But you know, it's especially a fight for Southern men and women to preserve our history, because, you know, people try to poo-poo that and they, you know, oh, your heritage, blah, blah. But it is a very important thing. And the left has been pointing this out for decades. And not for us, but, you know, they have been claiming since the 60s or 70s that we done stole it all the Negroes' history. And so, you know, compliant liberal and Jewish professors have been providing them with a fake history. And now they're stealing ours. And the reasons that they used to give of why you shouldn't steal anybody's history, I mean, they were claiming that it produced some pretty profound negative effects on the kids who are being brought up in a school system and being exposed to a media regime that destroys their history and tells them that they're, you know, with the Negroes, it was that, oh, well, you've never produced anything, you've never accomplished anything, which is actually true, but for the whites, you know, for decades now, they've been telling our kids that you're inherently evil because of your white skin, and your ancestors were the most horrible people in history who never did anything but butcher and colonize and enslave and rape, and which is absolutely untrue. But I think that the narrative that they're feeding our kids is a lot more destructive mentally, spiritually, and all that than the narrative that they were feeding to the blacks, which was actually the truth. And it, you know, the type of narrative that they were that the blacks were allegedly being fed, that they, you know, had never accomplished anything. Well, you know, if it's the truth, then take it and use it to improve yourself. But of course, the blacks can't do that, or they would have actually, you know, invented something or created something at some point in their history, you know, other than the pointed stick and jinkum. And so you know, Spencer made the point that, you know, he asked for anybody who was under the age of 25 to raise their hands. And he, when they did, he pointed out these people were born into this. These people, these young people have no idea what a different country was ever like. Now, I can, as a guy who's older than Spencer by a few years, not many, but a few, I can say that even guys Spencer's age likely were not born into a world where this stuff wasn't overwhelming. It just wasn't to the point that it has been for the last 20 years or so. But this is what we got to stop. When they take down our statues, I mean, it's a very chilling thing to me, and I think it's becoming a very chilling thing just to even the Southern normie, because you look at places like South Africa and Zimbabwe, and look at what coincides with the defacing of white heritage statues and the removal of white history stuff. It goes just hand in hand with the minorities raping, killing on a scale that is actually genocide. That, I mean, is like a violent, stereotypical genocide. And of course, they can't do that here yet because they don't have enough overwhelming numbers to do it. Of course, I believe they would if we were in the same demographic position as, say, you know, white South Africans. But that's what this is about. This is about destroying the white race. It's about destroying everything about us. And once the destruction is done, we'll just be completely erased from history. Of course, there, once we're gone, if that were to happen, within a few months, all these great societies that we built will be on fire, and the black and brown people will have reverted to cannibalism and all that. But, you know, the point stands. They're trying to remove us. They're trying to erase us. And I blame the Jews.
Yes. Yes, of course. I tell you what, yesterday, speaking of blaming the Jews, it's like they're tearing down our statues, but they're not just doing that. They're putting up the most grotesque replacements possible. I was, yesterday, Richard wanted to go out to lunch, and the PSD team was on. I had the PSD team on break, and of course, if it's not something anyone had advance notice for or anything, so I was just like, I tell you what, man, let me grab my 45 and another guy, and we'll, me and Seiko just went with him to out to lunch, and then he wanted to walk around his campus because he's an alum of UVA. And we were walking around, and we saw this piece of the Berlin Wall, and it was on this grand display in this giant glass case, and it had been spray painted this, like, just the most grotesque, the most Jewish fucking, like, spray paint mural on one side of it. And then, you know, and that's on the campus. And then off campus, when we were driving to the initial event, the route that we took to get to the drop-off point took us right by this, like, just grotesque building with all these hands with fingers poking each other, and all the hands are all these different colors of the rainbow of different amounts of melanin. And they were doing all these, like, really weird things and fucking, like, I was in the car with Richard at the time, and he was just like, he was as disturbed by it as I was. He was like, well, I'm not going to say what he said, but it's because I don't want to misquote him, and I can't remember it verbatim, but I mean, he was as disturbed by it as I was. I looked at it and I was like, that is the most Jewish fucking, like, it's got to go. It's yeah. And so they're tearing down our statues. And if you look at these statues, even if you don't know anything about the Civil War, even if you don't know anything about Robert E. Lee, even if you don't know anything about, you know, General Jackson either, you go to these statues and you look at them. You look at them. They are beautiful. And they really are, at the expense of Richard Spencer meme, they are implicitly white. You know, only white people build things like these statues.
Well, when they're Confederate statues, they're explicitly white.
Right. there's that. But, and yeah, of course, I mean, if you know the history of it, then in that case, it is explicitly white. And then you go see these things that have been, you know, created or whatever more recently, and you're just like, those things are explicitly Jewish. Richard was reading the plaque, and we found the name of the artist, and this is pretty funny. I mean, I think he understands my point, but we found this person's name, and I did my best Meraki imitation, and he was like, well, I don't know. I mean, it's probably a German name, but we don't know if it's Jewish. But and I was like, dude, look at the fucking wall. Look at the fucking shit on the wall. And dude, I knew that this was done by a fucking kike before I even read the goddamn description. Like,
right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can tell. I mean, their art, what they call art, is the most disgusting crap, low quality, low skill crap you'll ever see. I mean, basically, and I kind of know this from when I was college age. I had a couple of friends who were really good artists, and one of them was a guy my age, and the other one was a guy who was already in his 40s and who had been teaching sculpture, you know, for decades, and had decided to go back to college and get his MFA so that he could teach art, because, you know, it's hard to make a living and have insurance and stuff for your old age when, you know, you're teaching old ladies who have watched the movie Ghost or whatever, how to make pottery. And the guy who was older was really stuck in his ways. Now, both of these guys could do art. They were so skilled, they could do art that was just practically photorealistic. Like the sculptor guy, we would go and salvage, like after a big thunderstorm, we would go and salvage cedar trees with great big trunks that had gotten knocked over during the storm. And he would make like 18-foot tall Indian chiefs and stuff that you would just think were going to move. And the other guy could do the same thing, not with sculpture, but with drawing and painting and such. Now, the older guy stuck to his guns and kept creating great art. And the school loved it, as far as, you know, it was a great brag that, you know, all these different sculptures that he had, you know, they had dozens of them in their display cases and all, saying, this is the kind of artist that UT produces. And the other guy took, I don't think he did it because it was the path of least resistance. I think he fell for the propaganda of the goofy people in the art department, but he gave up doing real art and started doing this abstract impressionism stuff. And he actually became a person who was able to go out and make his living doing art because he was willing to like to fling paint at a canvas and come up with some name for it and constantly be spewing, you know, his leftist politics and everything, while this older guy who was a real artist, to my knowledge, was never able to make a monetary success of what he had done. But I'm telling you, his stuff was really on par with like Renaissance sculptors and such. And it just showed how, you know, since the Frankfurt School had gotten here, that they've completely degenerated our art and everything. But that's getting kind of off the topic. But you know, one thing that really occurred to me watching the different events over the last few weeks is that, you know, all these decades and decades of being labeled as racist crackers, you know, as Southern men, racist crackers and supporters of slavery, and all the libel and slander that has been directed at the Confederate States of America and, you know, their brief foray into self-determination and all that, is that this has really, I think it's one of the things that has hardened us as Southerners to be so pro-white and so racial about all this stuff, because like at these Southern events, the actual Southern guys, which that's basically what you had. Of course, you know, like I said, we had some Yankee allies came down, and good for them. But like at the New Orleans thing, that was such a big deal that you had all these people coming from California that had participated in the various battles of Berkeley and all. And these people were actually against us because they're saying, oh, you're racist. And so it's the same dynamic at that thing up in Boston. Everybody's denying that they're racist, and both sides are accusing the other side of being the real racists. And it was just such a refreshing thing to see all those guys at this event in Charlottesville yesterday be so... I mean, they were all well-spoken and everything, which, I mean, this is going to be a visual that is really going to move us forward, that these guys were all fit. They, for the most part, they were, you know, all the crowd was a bunch of good-looking people, well-dressed, well-spoken people, and the opposition were the ones who were behaving like the stereotypes that they claim we are, you know, that were walking up purposely trying to provoke everybody, saying intolerant things and all that, until our guys responded in kind and shut them right down. So what would you have to say to people who are sitting on the fence, who are so worried about their anonymity that they won't turn out to these things, or who are worried that, you know, I don't want to turn out to these things because, you know, there's a group there that I think is too cucky for me, or there's a group there that I think is too extreme for me. What are some of your impressions from this event that might soothe their jimmies?
Well, I would say, as far as worrying about going to an event and there being groups there that are too extreme, or groups that are too cucky or whatever, you know, in terms of wherever you're at relative to your own position or your own public position per se, I would say just, dude, don't worry about it. There was Identity Europa people there. There was TWP people there. Everybody got along great, and, you know, I don't think that – I didn't see anybody that was going out of their way to be like, oh, those TWP guys are, you know, explicitly Natsoc or whatever, and you know, those Vanguard America guys, you know, their aesthetic's a little edgier and stuff. And I didn't hear anybody being like, oh, those Identity Europa guys are just they're all about optics or whatever. Because, I mean, they are, but, I mean, they are for a reason. Like, and they do the things that they do. They have reasons why they operate the way they do. And because of operating the way they do, they're very successful. So don't worry about other groups that are there. I mean, these events are going to have multiple groups. These groups are cooperating. If you don't, and there's always going to be stormies, you're going to show up to these. And this was there was a pretty good turnout of that. Look, if you're a stormy, You're my beloved, you know, Daily Stormer Book Club boys. By the way, shout out to all the guys that I got to meet in the upstairs of the bar the night before the event. I apologize. I was extremely busy on my phone trying to do work, but I did try to meet and say hello to everyone. If you thought I was a spurgy or you thought I didn't like you, it was because I was extremely fucking busy. But, you know, go hang out. Guess, you know, if you don't want to hang out with people that, you know, are wearing suits or white polos and shit, dude, there's going to be people there that are clearly, you know, slash our guys. Go hang out with them. You'll have a great time. There's going to be people there that are going to be a great time. If you're an Identity Europa guy and you're afraid you don't want to go hang out with the Stormies because you think one of us is going to shove you in a locker, well, A, you're probably not wrong, but just go find a white polo and say hello. Like, right. Yeah, look, and that's a little bit of bants from IE friends, but look, don't worry about the other groups. As far as worrying about your anonymity, the only people who are going to get doxxed big league, they're, you know, the organizations that I just mentioned, unless you see some other organization that you don't know as much about, you're not going to get doxxed by going. I don't, you know, my judgment call is, I don't think you'll get doxxed in an IE event. I don't think you'll get doxxed hanging out with a bunch of Vanguard America guys. I really don't think you'll get doxxed hanging out with a bunch of TWP guys. all three of those organizations. Everybody that I've met from any of those organizations have been great people, and they're totally on board with, yes, we have to, like, you know, anybody that wishes to remain anonymous, we're going to, you know, protect their anonymity, and we're not going to do anything, you know, we're not going to act retarded and expose it and, you know, overexpose ourselves or anything like that. The only people that are going to get filmed or photographed or anything like that, you know, if you take it upon yourself to go stand in front of a camera and throw it up and get really Sieg Heil in front of a news camera, if you take that upon yourself to do that, well, I'm not going to counter signal you because that's awesome. However, I will bring it to your attention that if you do that and then you subsequently get doxxed, I'm going to be like, well, yeah. But, you know, of course, yeah, no shit, right? But, I mean, yeah. Any of the people that were, you know, just if all you did was come to this event and you just marched in the formation, maybe you were carrying a flag or maybe not carrying a flag, or if you just came to the candlelight vigil and were just, you know, holding a candle in the dark and you weren't giving a speech or anything, no one's even going to know. And the event, yeah. There was a dinner at the event, and it was pretty much a mini NPI conference, and it was 100% private. And the 100% private thing was strictly enforced by myself and several other people who we were prepared to enforce it very strictly. And the only media that was there was Red Ice. And the only thing that Red Ice had a camera on was the podium. So if you weren't speaking at that event, you were not photographed at that event. And it was great because I got to meet at that event, I got to meet a lot of listeners that, you know, they can't afford to get doxxed, but I'd be talking to somebody. This happened many, many times, a double-digit number of times this happened. I'd be talking to someone and I'd have somebody like tap me on the arm and be like, hey, are you Careless Rex? And I'd be like, yeah, I'm Careless Rex. And they'd be like, dude, I recognize your voice. I love your show. I love Salting the Earth. I love the Crypto Report, that kind of thing. And I'd be like, oh yeah, thanks, man. And
cool.
And these would be guys that, you know, they can't afford to get doxxed, but they were able to come to that event. So there's going to be events like that that you can go to, and any kind of event like that, I would encourage you to go, because we're going to go out of our way to, like, make sure that the media, especially an event like that dinner, we're going to make sure the media and any opposition, especially opposition guys like Antifa or anything like that, they're not going to be able to come. They're not going to be able to come there and photograph you, dox you, anything like that. We're going to make sure that we're going to take every countermeasure that we're able to take to prevent that. So come to events. Don't worry about coming, you know, if you're going to an event and you're worried because there's going to be another group there that you maybe you don't like their positions or whatever. Go to that event. Like, the only thing that I would worry about is going to an event that there's an organization. If there's an organization involved in the event that tends to be a dumpster fire of an organization. And you know, there's a lot of the smaller ones out there. Yeah. That, I mean,
I'm with you there, and everybody knows who you're talking
I'm
about.
I'm not, yeah, right. let's just say I'm not going to go down the list, right? But, you know, Identity Europa, Vanguard America, and TWP, all great organizations, all very different aesthetics, all, you know, reaching you different kinds of people, but all fantastic organizations. And if, you know, any of those organizations, their events, they're going to be well run. And I strongly encourage anyone that wants to go to any of those to not worry so much about getting doxxed and go to the event. You know, maybe throw on a hat and some sunglasses or something like that. But, man, get out there. And as I've said repeatedly on my show and on everywhere that I'm given a voice and an opportunity to jump on the mic and say it, go out into meat space and earn your fucking tendies.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, before we leave the topic, I just want to say, since they came up and we've got two people here who run or attend Daily Stormer book club meetings, you know, a lot of what a lot of this stuff that keeps people from coming out is false impressions that are driven by the things they've heard in the media all these years. Like, you know, there have been people come out to the book club meetings who were pleasantly surprised that no one there was like a toothless meth addict. And there probably is no place where there are Daily Stormer book club meetings held that, you know, are in more of a redneck type area than where I am in, you know, rural Northeast Texas. And the guys who come out to our meetings, and we've had guys come all the way from Dallas to attend our meetings, and it's 100% of the time, it's young, middle class, mostly college student types who show up. It's people just like you and me. It's not some scary boogeyman, you know, from some Jew Hollywood movie or something. We're regular guys who are just concerned to implement 1488 as soon as possible to ensure the continued existence of white people and the great culture and civilization and all the wonderful things that we've contributed to the world, and to make sure that there is a great future for our white children moving on, you know, into the upcoming decades and centuries. That's what we're here for, and nothing else. And as long as we can get together and keep meeting up in real life, you know, whether it's in, you know, the smaller groups like the Daily Stormer book clubs or the bigger things like these events, we will be enacting that agenda. Because one thing that Spencer said that was very, I thought was very accurate, is that these people, they're not attacking us in the way that, like, they're attacking whites in South Africa or whatever, where it's some type of open race war and a violent genocide. What they're doing is they're trying to destroy us through spiritual and moral means. They're trying to convince our own people that we're no good and that we need to just breed ourselves out of existence by not having babies and race mixing and mass immigration and forced integration and all these lovely things that the left tries to force on us. And that's exactly what we do have going on. And I think that, and I'll post a link to the Daily Stormer article that has all these videos in it in the post with this show. Because it's such a perfect visual. Like I said, you've got all these young, clean, healthy-looking white people on one side, and you've got these weird, shaggy, filthy degenerates on the other side. And one of the chants that the guys would throw up every once in a while was, "Take a shower." And having confronted Antifa myself, I can say that this is not just a dance, that these people really do smell. I think it must be a thing in the far left now to not bathe. But Carolus, it's been great to have you on today to give us your firsthand accounting of what went on there. And I'm going to reiterate what you said. Everybody, you know, pay attention. One great place to find out about this stuff is the Daily Stormer. Generally speaking, when we find out about these things, we post as soon as possible with all the deets and everything, so people who want to can jump in the car and head out there and make a good showing of it. And that's what's been going on. The left is getting outnumbered at these things. They're getting demoralized, just like the one in Boston yesterday was supposed to be Antifa's giant call to come resist because they'd been getting outnumbered. And of course, once more, they were very outnumbered, afraid to do anything. And that was obviously the case yesterday, other than a few screeching women who were assuming, probably correctly, that no one was going to attack them because they were allegedly female or whatever. They were the only ones who had the nerve to come out there and do all that screaming and shucking and jiving that they were doing. And so, like I say, great visual, and that's what it's all about. That's the aesthetic that we put out there. You know, that's just part of the way that we're going to win this battle. So thanks for coming on, Carolus, and we'll be, when you come back from your break, or if you have time while you're on your break from salting the earth, We're going to have you back and do some co-hosting and such here and there. What do you think?
Hell yeah, brother. I'm currently transient. I've got my stuff that's going on IRL. It's not completely resolved yet, but one way or another, I should be settling down somewhere soon where I'll be able to go get my Yeti out of storage and set a room up with some proper acoustics to where it doesn't sound like shit like I do right now on my snowball in this echoey-ass room. And yeah.
You sound pretty good for a guy on a snowball in a bad environment.
I appreciate that. We'll see what happens, but anytime it's a Sunday morning and you if I'm in a place with good internet and I can at least get a place that's not any worse than this to record in, I'll be happy to jump on the mic with you, brother.
Okay, well, we'll be looking forward to that. And everybody who is listening needs to go and check out Salting the Earth. Salting the Earth is on SoundCloud.
Well, actually, it's on actually YouTube. Currently, Salting the Earth is on a hiatus.
Yes,
do correct. Check out the older episodes, the first mm-hmm. season. Go listen to those. If you haven't heard of Salting the Earth before, go check out my podcast, catch up on last season. We're going to start a new season in a couple of weeks when I'm not a nomad anymore. But right now, yeah. What I'm doing that's an ongoing thing, I have a I'm doing basically a solo project, and about every day I'm either going to do the solo project or I'm going to be on someone else's show. And what the solo project is, that they're between 5 to 20 minutes, and I'm uploading them to SoundCloud, and I'm just jumping on the mic, on my little shitty mic, with whoever I've got with me. So far, I've had Richard Spencer, I've had DeMarcus Leibowitz, I've had Roscoe Jones from Exodus Americanus, and I've had Seiko and Vanzetti, and Vandal from The War Room, and I'm trying to think of who I'm going to have next. I'm not really sure, but I'm doing that. I'm releasing that about every other day, but it's just a little 5 to 20 minute thing. At 20 minutes, I'm just like, all right, we're shutting it down. But so check that out. And I think
now, is that going to be on your is that going to be posted on your Salting the Earth platforms?
It is. I'm just posting them up on the Salting the Earth SoundCloud, and I'm uploading it to the websites that I have upload privilege on. And I submitted the first episode to Daily Stormer and it got published, and then the second one, I saw the second one got published. The third one I didn't post until yesterday, so it hasn't been published yet. And then I only uploaded the fourth one a couple hours ago, so I don't know if I guess the rest of them will end up on the Stormer radio page, which is pretty fucking cool if that ends up being the case.
Yeah, well, it's entertaining stuff. I only got to listen to the first one with Roscoe Jones, but I really enjoyed it, and I haven't had much time to listen to anything. I think that's the only alt-right radio, other than like editing my show, that I've listened to in weeks. And I really did. Well, of course, I listened to myself on Salting the Earth a couple of weeks ago. Of course, I have to do that. But there's no one loves the sound of my voice better than myself. I'll be honest here. But the show you're doing, I would call these vignettes, because like you said, they're just a few minutes long, but they're great little quick conversations, and everybody go check them out. And I'm sure they will all be posted on Daily Stormer. It's quality audio there for people to listen to. And and like I say, for the last time, thank you very much, Careless. And I guess that's it for today's Crypto Report.
Hell yeah, brother. Hell
victory. See you next week. All right. See you next week, everybody.